What a joy it is that we can be together this afternoon. So thankful for this opportunity. For as our scripture reading has taught us in Ephesians 3 and verse 21, to God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The church is here to glorify God, and we will glorify Him in this congregation. All month, we have been devoting our Sunday morning sermons to this theme in the beginning of our congregation, God. And tonight, with this sermon and song, the congregation is going to do the bulk of teaching and exhortation through the hymns and the psalms that we sing together as we review some of the points in the scriptures that we have learned along the way. The church is God's called out assembly of people. And a local church or a congregation is God's people banded together, joined together, united for work and for worship in a place. And we have studied some generally about the church this month, but we've really tried to bring it home and particularly to talk about Livingston Church. And so at the beginning of this congregation is God's glory. And you know that God is love and God is holy. It's not either or, it's both. He is love and He is holy. And you know that Jesus is full of grace and full of truth. It's not either or, it's both. Full of grace, full of truth. These things go together. Likewise, we learn that God's glory and God's authority go together. We glorify God when we appreciate our position in relation to Him. That He is great and we are small. That He is creator and we the creation. He is Lord. We are His subjects. He is Father. We are His children. He is Savior. We are the redeemed. He is love. And though often we are unlovable, we have never been unloved by God. Amazingly, God wants us. He wants me. He wants you, who are unworthy to be part of His church. And we praise God for that. Reverence and respect run through the congregation for our holy God. We hail Him and we heed Him so that we glorify Him. And now we're going to sing Hosanna. We're going to sing Hosanna to glorify God. Hosanna means save us. Or God save us. It is an exclamation in the Bible of joy and recognition that God is Savior and that God is moving to bless and to save His people. And then we're going to sing together holy, holy, holy to glorify God. And then we're going to sing selections from O Worship the King, which emphasize God's glory in His church. Let's sing together, brothers and sisters. Brother Phil.
Hosanna.
No.
worship the King. No
God's word frames his church. And in Acts chapter 20, we have the inspired record of the Apostle Paul meeting with the elders of the church at Ephesus. And as he knows he will see them no more, he leaves with them these parting admonitions and warnings. Hear this in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. The apostle said, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." I begin with this reading that the apostle said, "I declared the whole counsel of God." And ends with this, "I commend you to the word of God, the word of his grace." It is God's word that directs our steps, our lives. And that is true individually as disciples, but there is also instruction collectively for the church, for local churches. God's glory and his authority is expressed in Scripture. God's plan and pattern for the church is expressed in Scripture. We can read the New Testament and we can discern God's will for his church. There is warning in this scripture, in this text in Acts 20, warning that false teaching and false teachers, like wolves, would trouble God's people, trouble God's church. And what is it that will safeguard his people? What is it that will answer this error? God's word. The whole counsel of God. The apostles passed away, but the word of God, their doctrine, it remains. God's word never failed them, and it never fails us either. God's word is where his revelation is found. It is where his authority is expressed. The scriptures are sufficient for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for perfection, for equipping this congregation takes the New Testament of Jesus as our authority and our standard for faith and practice. And we're going to sing to that end now. We're going to sing the Law of the Lord, this beautiful psalm that emphasizes the sufficiency of Scripture. We're going to follow that by singing together, Christ Arose. Because the New Testament is the testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head of the church. And the church rests on His identity, that confession. He is the Son of God, demonstrated by His death and His resurrection. So we'll sing Christ Arose, and then we'll sing Sanctuary. A wonderful message of open hearts. As the church understands, it is the holy people, cleansed by the Word of God, to commune with God. Let's sing together, starting with the Law of the Lord.
Arose. All three verses of sanctuary. And if you would, please stand.
Know me.
The church is God's people. It's not buildings. It's not brick. It's not mortar. And yet I would share with you a passage from Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse number 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. No, we've learned the church is people, it's not buildings, and yet the apostle uses the figure of a building. Indeed, a temple to teach us about how God's people are united and are joined together as the church. I'm a living stone. You are a living stone. And God is polishing us and God is fitting us together. He is fashioning us as his people, as his church, as his temple. How precious that is. For the temple is the place of worship. And to draw near to God and for communion. As God's people, there is commitment. There is commitment to him, and there is commitment to one another. To be joined, to be united together. That's what a church is, a local church is. The stones are fit together. You see, a pile of rocks, that's not a building. The stones have to be fit together. And stones cast here or there randomly in a field, that's not a building. The stones have to be joined together. And so these songs do emphasize that the church is God's people, but we're God's people as we're joined together. We're going to sing the church's one foundation. Wonderful lyrics using this building imagery that we've seen in Ephesians 2. And then some selections from True Hearted, Whole Hearted, where we're going to speak to our loyalty to Jesus and to one another. That loyalty is clearly expressed. And then we're going to sing Hallelujah. Because after all, we are God's people. Let's start with the church's one foundation, Brother Tom Lee.
hearted, whole hearted. We'll be singing the first and third verse.
No.
Feel free to sing the descant as you feel moved.
No song.
What a grand plan and picture the future of the Church of God. And as we go from Ephesians 2 to Ephesians 5, the apostle there begins to speak about the relationship of Jesus to his church as a husband to a wife, as a bridegroom to the bride. And in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Jesus is the head of the church, and Jesus is the Savior of the body. Save the body from what? What does he save us from? And in a word, it is hell. Righteous judgment upon our sins. By his grace, he died on the cross to make atonement to God for our evil deeds and unrighteousness. He has made his salvation available to all by the gospel. But it is only his church, those who respond to the gospel and are added to his body, that benefit from this sacrifice. He is the Savior of the body. And God has a plan, or has planned from eternity, for his church. He would redeem a people by the blood of Jesus Christ to be gathered to him forever in heaven. That redeemed people, that heaven-bound people, is his church, is his body. What is the future of the church? To know the glory of God in heaven. What is the future of the church? One day our hope will be realized. What is the future of the church? One day our faith will be sight. That is the future of the church. And it's a wonderful future. I want you to be part of that future. I'm so glad and blessed to know that future. And these next three songs talk about that future. We shall sing selections from "The Kingdoms of Earth Pass Away." And yes, they do. But the kingdom of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it shall stand. We'll sing selections from "No Tears in Heaven," what joy it will be to be there with our Lord. And we'll sing "I'll Fly Away" in expectation of that day of being with him forever. Brother Tomlin.
We'll sing the first and the third verse.
No
soul. Lord, kingdoms of earth pass away.
Sing the first and the second verse. Please stand as we sing all three verses of I'll Fly Away.
Thank you all, brethren and friends, for being out tonight and singing out tonight. Praises to God that teach and encourage one another along these important themes about the church and remind us and emphasize and drive home, I hope, in memorable ways, important lessons and things we've studied as we have focused this month on, in the beginning of our congregation, God. And as we extend the invitation at this time, I'd like to think about that last picture we saw from Ephesians 5 of the church as bride, though here we find it in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. In Revelation 22 and verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." In this verse, the church is called the bride, just as in Ephesians 5. The bride of Christ invites any who are willing to come and partake of the waters of life. That's why there's a church on earth now, if you think about it. The only thing the church can do now that it cannot do in heaven is invite the lost people of a sin-sick, dying world to come to God through Jesus Christ and know life. To come where there is life. To the church. I want you to think about, brethren, this week, who will you say, come? Come to the waters of life. It can be in the form of an invitation. We have those wonderful invitation cards and a goal that each one of us would make an invitation a week. Of course, we have this special study starting next week about answers in April. And you see the green cards, there's a stack out there. Why not make that your invitation this week? Hand that information to someone. I'm telling you, I'm very excited about it and the opportunity there. One of our elders, Brother Joe Rose, is going to begin that series at 9 a.m. He's going to be talking about truth on Sunday morning. I'm going to be doing a lesson at 10 a.m. called The King of the Dinosaurs. I hope you'll be there for that. I'm excited about it. I'm into dinosaurs. If history was to repeat itself, I would so get a dinosaur. I mean, that's how much I'm into it. And we're going to look and see and learn where those fit into biblical creation and God's history of the world, which is the true history of the world. And I tell you, from that launching point, it's going to be a wonderful series. Wonderful things are talked about. Won't you please invite someone to that? As a church, we need to say, come. Come. Come to the waters of life through the gospel. And to any who are in the room tonight, even now, and you are not a Christian, you are not in Jesus, you are not a part of his church, you need to know that there's a room full of people who their prayer and their hope, their invitation is that you will come. Come forward as we sing a song in just a moment. To confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God. To be baptized, immersed in water. To have your sins washed away. To be born again, a new creation. And part of his people, part of his church. Won't you come? The bride and the Spirit say, come. And all who are willing, come freely to the waters of life. Come to Jesus tonight. We're going to sing a song now. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? It is an invitation song. And if you are not in Jesus, you don't need to sing the song. You need to come forward. In fact, you need to come now. As together we stand and sing. Won't you come?
Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Philip, for leading us in that worship service this evening. It's been a good day.